it's Karen Webster, and welcome to The Matchmaker Is In. With me today is Dustin Eide, the CEO of CanPay. Dustin, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're going to have a great conversation. CanPay, for those who may not be familiar, is the first debit payment solution for buying cannabis where it is sold legally. That's 29 states for medicinal purposes and 8 for recreational use. So, Dustin, talk about matchmakers creating technology platforms to solve for friction. There's lots of it when it comes to using digital payment methods to buy cannabis where it is, in fact, regulated by the states. Today, that's cash only for most people. And in 2016, it's about a $7 billion business. That's a lot of dollar bills flying around states. So is that what motivated you to make a change, try to solve a problem?
Yeah, I did. I was really interested in finding a big problem to solve, and I really couldn't find a problem bigger than creating a payment service or providing a payment service for an industry that is still federally illegal, but legal at the state level in many of these states. So you're utilizing and accessing federal banking services to deliver a legitimate payment service to these businesses. And it's very complicated to build a solution that can survive the audit and review of state and federal regulators.
So, Dustin, you came out of the payment business, so you knew going in that there were many, many frictions to overcome, starting with regulators, then getting banks and card networks on board, which they're not, thinking about investors, getting a consistent user experience, lots and lots of frictions. So where did you start, knowing what you were facing? What did you do first?
Yeah, so really learned what was available in the industry at that time, or purported to be available in the industry at that time, and also realized very early on that it was going to, anything that we were going to do would need to be based on the compliant financial institution network that we were starting to build over time, that we were introduced to the financial institutions that were actually operating cannabis banking programs under what is known as the Cole Memo and the FinCEN guidance, which were updated and issued on February 14th of 2014. And really that guidance issued by the Department of the Treasury and the Department of Justice together allowed for financial institutions and financial services to be able to provide their services to the state legal businesses in a way that would mitigate the opportunity for the feds to enforce action against those institutions.
But that meant that you needed to establish a business then that was both compliant with that set of rules and regulations to make the banks comfortable that they were compliant, but also find a payment method that didn't rely on existing card brands, because you couldn't do that since they operate outside of state jurisdiction. So how did you solve for that?
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of services attempt to either utilize Visa or MasterCard funding directly for the cannabis purchase, or to use an intermediate for that purchase. And in our minds, when we looked at those solutions, whether it be a gift card, whether it be cryptocurrency, whether it be anything else, it just became too complicated and felt more like it was simply in place to mask the transaction, the credit card purchase for cannabis, as opposed to actually solving the issue, because it's been very clear from the card brands that they will not participate in the cannabis industry until mm-hmm. federal law changes. So we took them at their word, and we started exploring what services were available that we could use. If we had access to a compliant banking network, could we build a debit payment network on top of that network in order to facilitate payments within the regulated cannabis industry? And so we settled on the automated clearinghouse network, the mm-hmm. ACH network, mm-hmm. and we essentially built our own debit payment network utilizing our network of Cole Memo compliant financial institutions.
So where did you start? What state and what did you have to do in order to get everyone comfortable that what you were doing was in fact compliant?
So the first dispensary to accept the CanPay transaction was Colorado Harvest Company out of just in Denver, Colorado. And so they were our alpha client. Their owner there, Tim Cullen, was a wonderful owner to work with, provided great feedback. His staff and employees were very helpful as we started to operate our network and identify any opportunities for improvement before we took the CanPay network to a larger scale. To arrive at what our financial institution and the regulators would be comfortable with, it required a high level of enhanced due diligence be done on every cannabis business that was going to be accepting CanPay. So not only is CanPay's financial institution operating a cannabis compliant banking program that CanPay operates within, CanPay also requires all accepting dispensaries and retail shops to be banking themselves in a validated, verified Cole Memo compliant banking program in their local market. So every transaction, every business, they're all required to be Cole Memo compliant per their relationships with their financial institutions. So CanPay operates a network of approximately 20 financial institutions around the country that are currently banking the industry under the Cole Memo and FinCEN guidance. And so any one of their clients that is banking within that program is able to accept CanPay should they choose to.
So what is the role that you play in onboarding these dispensaries and making sure that they are in fact legitimate businesses, the KYC and all of the requirements that banks, I'm sure, must be comfortable with before they actually establish a relationship with that dispensary?
Yeah. So the financial institution provides us validation that cannabis business is banking within their cannabis compliant program.
So they have to establish that first, that relationship first?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And we're able to make for cannabis businesses and markets that we serve. Sometimes we're able to make referrals into those businesses or into those financial institutions so that they can receive banking. Those institutions tend to be very open with their regulators about banking the industry, but very quiet about actually publicly banking the industry. They get overwhelmed with requests. So typically we're providing the information for the owners to that financial institution, and then that financial institution is reaching out directly to the cannabis client. But yes, they have to be banking within one of these programs first. And then we receive the verification from their financial institution that they are banking within that program. We verify their licenses, make sure that everything's not expired, verify who they are and all that, go through the standard underwriting processes on our end. But really, in order to ensure that they are compliant with the federal guidelines, it's that financial institution giving us that form of validation that's required.
What about on the consumer side? How does a consumer enroll into your program so that they're able to use CanPay?
Yep. So because we're utilizing the ACH network, that's a checking account to checking account transfer. So CanPay, for scalability and security reasons, is only available for consumers and patients via the CanPay app, mobile app. And so the consumer will go to canpayapp.com to download the CanPay app to their home screen. We are not in any of the app stores because when you're transparent with Apple in particular, they will reject your application from their store. And so we've been completely transparent with every potential member of our payments chain, including the app companies. And so they told us that because it was going to be used for cannabis payments, they would not allow the CanPay app in their stores. So all smartphone devices go to canpayapp.com. It tells them how to save that to their home screen. They open the CanPay app and they can create and manage their account from the app, or they can go to our website, which is canpaydebit.com, on their computer and also enroll in CanPay. They provide us with some information that we can validate who they are. They provide us with their checking account and routing number so that we can link directly to their checking account. We go through a verification process, and once they're verified and their banking is validated, we're able to allow them to utilize CanPay to pay in a dispensary that accepts CanPay. that payment process is they walk in, choose what they want to purchase, they log into their CanPay app, and every time they log in, it generates a single-use payment PIN that expires within 30 minutes. It contains no personal identifiable information or any banking data. So it's a highly secure method of payment. And once the merchant that accepts CanPay receives that payment PIN, they receive either a payment approved or transaction declined message. And payment approved is just like running a debit or credit card anywhere else. That completes the transaction, and the patient or customer is able to walk out of the dispensary with their product.
So on the merchant side, the device that they're using is a tablet or a smartphone, or do you provide them
with a tablet to receive that?
Got it.
Yeah, it's a tablet at this point. We do have some point of sale companies that focus specifically on the cannabis industry that are in the process of integrating to CanPay's API so that that can be an integrated transaction. So we do expect that to happen in the near term, and we're receiving more and more requests all the time for that. So that's actually one of the things that we're really excited about, as the industry sees that CanPay is the legitimate solution for the industry and becoming the universal payment tool. More of these companies that are operating in the space want to integrate CanPay so that it's more convenient for their customers, who are the cannabis businesses, and their customers, the patients and the consumers.
How has this changed the business of the dispensaries, who are predominantly cash-based, and that brings with it a lot of headaches and safety concerns? How has this changed their business?
Well, first and foremost, one of the ways that it's changing the industry is that these cannabis businesses now have access to a transparent payment service that they can rely on and expect to be stable. In the past, we've seen a number of payment solutions for the industry either require that these businesses do business in their legal entity name, not the trade name that everyone knows them as, a third-party entity, or some other name that people don't recognize, or in general, those solutions are getting shut down over time. And so we think from a stability standpoint, that's probably one of the biggest benefits that having CanPay in the marketplace is affording these cannabis businesses. Now they can go and, you know, we understand that we're not Visa or MasterCard. We're not in everyone's wallet yet. We're building a large customer and user base as we go, but we understand there's a couple minute sign up process that that customer has to go through. So, it's something that a cannabis business has to recognize. They have to want their customers and patients to sign up for CanPay so that they can decash their business. But we're seeing that become easier and easier as CanPay builds out its recognition around the industry. And then once you have CanPay, you don't have to do anything else. You just sign in and pay, and you can pay wherever it's legal for you to purchase. The CanPay is accepted. So if you're a businesswoman from Seattle traveling to Denver, you can pull up the CanPay app and see who accepts CanPay there and go use your CanPay account there at the recreational stores.
Interesting.
So there's more utility as CanPay expands as well.
I was going to ask about that. Tell me about the scenario in Hawaii where you earlier in the year really seemed to be able to get everyone on board to create an ecosystem, if you will, of banks and regulators and dispensaries to do something quite different. So give us a little bit of background on that.
Sure. Well, I have to give credit where it's due, and there were many different parties that were involved in bringing that together. In particular, the Dispensary Association in Hawaii had strong leadership from their executive director, who contacted me after learning about CanPay services back in December. So just about a year ago this time, and asked for assistance in brainstorming how can we solve what was going to be a crisis in the Hawaiian market, because they have unique geographic issues related to cash. In the States, in the mainland, you have generally the opportunity to use, say, cash pickup vehicles and whatnot. Transportation is much safer. On the islands, you're talking about transporting cash via airways, via waterways, in very where there may only be one road in and out. So really flashpoints, security risks that needed to be addressed for that industry in that state. And so we saw the governor, the banking commissioner, the industry, financial institutions, us all work together to come up with a solution that would allow them to move towards decashing the cannabis purchases in their medical market.
Interesting. So cash was presenting a problem with respect to theft or?
Theft, patient security, just the fact that in that market, because you have it's an island state, you have the complication of getting cash somewhere and then getting cash off the island. And so otherwise it just pools. And so those were very complicated problems to solve. And they really were, there was a desire to resolve that before the market really took off.
And so it sounds like you were able to do that in roughly the space of 8 months. That seems like a short period of time. Is that an unusual time frame for something like this to get established off the ground and in operation?
I would say it is. Yeah, I would also say that in the cannabis industry, they're kind of like dog years. So 1 year is 7 years, and in any other industry, it's got to be. So, as surprising and as fulfilling as that was, it took a lot longer than everybody wanted it to anyway. But without the support of the governor and the banking commissioner and their teams, I don't think that it would have moved as quickly as it did. There really was an appetite to solve that problem. And really it came down to in particular, the patient safety. I mean, we saw people lining up outside the dispensaries waiting to be able to go in and make their purchases before the dispensary opened. And if that's a cash-rich environment, it's also a target-rich environment. And they were very concerned for their patients in that regard.
Let's talk about another potential friction, and that is investors. Was it difficult to get investors to sign on to the proposition? Not so much the technology and what you were trying to accomplish, but what it was enabling. Lots of times investors fear not for themselves, but for how other people may perceive their investments in the space. Did you run into that?
That's fair. We did not. CanPay is privately funded, so we didn't have to go that direction yet, but I have seen many of our peers and many of our close relationships in the industry go through those exact issues, and many of the cannabis businesses. It's really the same for everyone. If you were involved in the industry either as a direct flower touching business or as an ancillary business, as the term is called, the non-flower touching, but probably the picks and axes of the industry, it can be very challenging to find investors that are willing to be connected to the industry. Now that's becoming less of an issue, and we're seeing more and more capital raise as the industry matures and people become more comfortable with it. But again, you have to step back and say this is a federally illegal industry at a state and state legal industry. And so there are complications there in general. So you see, in the same way that CanPay had to build from scratch a service for this industry, you're seeing investors come in that, you know, not the big name investors, maybe we're getting a little bit more of that, but you're seeing new money and new interest from participants that maybe aren't doing so in the traditional retail or investment space.
Is there a particular facet of the ecosystem that's pushing hardest or is the catalyst for enabling digital payment services to decash the industry? Is it the governments that want to collect the tax revenue? Is it the dispensaries who are looking out for patient safety as they're standing in line with cash in their pockets? Who's really the catalyst in driving the direction?
Well, I can tell you from our perspective that when Hawaii announced that CanPay was going to be the solution that was launching in that market to decash it, that was a that support, that level of support was felt in a number of ways, including the patient desire and willingness to create their CanPay account, link it to their checking account, and use it to spend in the dispensaries. So there was certainly a great deal of support and assistance that came with that. But in general, the push is really coming from the dispensary owners and their financial institutions that are banking them under the Cole Memo compliant program. Those dispensary owners, they want to normalize their industry as much as possible. They want to provide convenience to their customers and patients as much as possible. They want to decash that transaction because it's safer for both their patients and their employees. And also, cash is both expensive and a hassle. You have miscounts, you have theft, you have the security risks associated with it. So I would say in general, those dispensaries that are using CanPay as their payment service for their transactions and choosing to do that instead of cash, they want to normalize that transaction as much as possible.
I mentioned early on that you came out of the payments industry. So to some extent, you knew the complexity and what you were getting into, but surely there had to had to be some surprises. What were some of the surprises that I'm sure there are many. What a couple that come to mind?
Yeah, I would say that a general understanding of the payment space, that's helpful, but diving into the complexity of what actually makes funds transfer from one bank account to another bank account, and the many number of entities that are involved in that transaction was really shocking to me. You feel like even at the consumer level, if you're not involved in payments, you pull out your card, you swipe it, sometime the money goes out of your account or it's held against your balance, and that's the end of it. And in traditional payments, you get to see some of the back end workings that, you know, there's more to it than that. There's a sales organization, there's a merchant account, there's an acquirer and an issuer, all of those things. But in building this out, you go even a level deeper or three deeper, and you have to understand how all the different entities interact with one another and what that looks like. So I love complexity. I was looking for a real challenge to solve, and I don't think that I could find anything more complicated than figuring out how to facilitate, how to offer a payment platform to these businesses and to patients and consumers under the cannabis industry.
How has the ecosystem evolved since you've been in the business?
We're seeing a push towards transparency that hasn't always existed. Up until a solution like CanPay was available in the market, you didn't do business in your own business name as a cannabis business. And that was somewhat accepted because it was the only way that you were able to facilitate cashless payments. But as we prove out that it can be done, and it can be done under the federal guidance and within compliance, there's a push towards requiring either at the financial institution level or even just the dispensaries desiring this, requiring that level of transparency that every other industry enjoys. So you go to a restaurant, and on your credit card statement or debit card statement, bank statement, the name of that restaurant actually shows. With CanPay, the name of that dispensary actually shows. And so there's a level of legitimacy and transparency that comes with that, and we're starting to see a much stricter vetting process around payment services for the industry that hasn't really existed up to this point.
Are you using the window of opportunity that the current administration offers as air cover for building out your network? Because as long as the federal government looks at cannabis the way that it does, this administration isn't likely to change that. You don't have competition from the traditional sources of digital payments.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of points at play there. We have ongoing conversations with the card brands to get a sense for where they are. And at this point, it's still very clear that they have no interest in participating in the industry through any type of program. But we want to keep our thumb on the pulse and really understand where the industry is going. We think that we have enough time to build CanPay out as the universal payment tool for the cannabis industry. We're well on our way. Like I said, with the integrations, we're launching the ability to do e-commerce payments using CanPay where that is legal in the state. So for in-store pickup or for delivery purchases. And so we're expanding the way that CanPay interacts, or where CanPay can interact with the cannabis consumer and patient, to really expand our reach and our presence in the industry. So we do believe that we'll have enough time to really build CanPay out as the payment tool for this industry. And then once Visa and MasterCard are ready to enter into the industry, we'll be a very likely entry point, because we have validated and verified compliant dispensaries and financial institutions.
How are banks looking at this now? I know you mentioned that there are a number of banks that you're currently working with, but that's a small handful of banks in a sea of 14,000 or so in the U.S.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there still are very few relatively that are willing to take on the risks associated with a compliant cannabis banking program, mm-hmm. as well as the cost. It's very expensive. And so we typically see the community banks and credit unions who have a community focus within their charter anyway, mm-hmm. say that this is a public safety issue and we're going to put in the effort to solve this for our community. And so we have a lot of respect and appreciation for the institutions and bankers that are building these programs out. They really are at risk. It's very expensive for them to implement, and it's very complicated to remain compliant. So they are driving this industry forward from a compliance standpoint and a safety standpoint.
You mentioned that transparency is now something you're seeing evolve and emerge. What are some of the other things that must change in order for, from your perspective, the industry to really grow and scale the way you see the opportunity to grow and scale?
Sure. I think the thing that could help the industry as much or more than anything would be a reinterpretation of IRS Rule 280E, which essentially dictates that cannabis businesses can only write off the cost of goods sold, not any other expenses. Mm. We think of the industry in general as being highly profitable, and a lot of that's because we see that all the cash that comes in and whatnot, but these businesses have very high tax bills because they can't write off labor, they can't write off rent, they can't write off a lot of the major expenses that any other business can write off. And so I think that would really supercharge the growth of these businesses and turn what are barely profitable or barely unprofitable businesses into profitable businesses. And that's not to say that there aren't profitable businesses in the industry, but there's certainly that 280E hampers the growth of the industry in general. We also need more financial institutions to step up and bank the industry, and we are seeing that. But there are some markets that are in existence today that have no access to compliant banking for one reason or another.
Was there one thing about 2017 and your experiences with working with dispensaries and states that stood out to you as a major accomplishment? And the second part of my question is, what do you expect 2018 to bring?
It is so hard to think back on a year in this industry and consume it and come up with one thing that really made a difference. I think that in general, the momentum is very positive, that this industry is moving towards more normalization, more acceptance, maturation of the approach that the industry takes to serving patients, to serving recreational or adult use consumers. So I think we are making a lot of strides in the right direction as an industry. And so I would say that's probably my biggest takeaway, that we're maturing and that the industry is becoming one that people outside the industry will look at and say that's a professional industry, that's a well-run industry. You can't survive in this industry, as complicated as the regulatory environment is, if you're not really, really good at structure and compliance and making sure that you fall within the rules.
Sounds like that's the 2018 agenda, or at least a piece of it.
Yep. Yeah, the more states that come online with strict regulatory environment and enforcement behind it, like where California is heading, the better it is for the industry, the more mature, the more professional this industry is going to be and perceived by those outside the industry.
Well, Dustin, thank you so much for your time today. It was great talking to you. It was an interesting look at the industry and how CanPay is really trying to bring, in your words, a professionalism to it. And a transparency that is certainly needed. Best wishes to you for a great 2018.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, and just so glad to be able to share a little bit about the story behind CanPay with you. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. It was our pleasure. And thanks everyone for listening today. Until next time. Bye-bye now.